The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined in the studio by James Millman to look ahead to the best of Wednesday's action. We're also going to have a look back at the Melbourne Cup, as well as assessing AP McCoy as he nears the 4,000 winner mark. Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Stephen Powell will be your studio team on Wednesday to take you through all of the action. How are you doing, James?
Yeah, pretty good. I'd say we had a proper... been nearly a Euro success in the Melbourne Cup, second, third, fourth and fifth, and we could claim the winner, Irish bred, trained by Sir Michael Stout in the past, but a first win for Gay Waterhouse in the race.
Indeed, Fiorente won the Melbourne Cup. If you weren't up at 4 a.m, the 6-1 favourite landed the odds. Red Cadeau, Mount Athos, Simenon second, third and fourth, and Dandino in fifth. Great for the Euros. I mean, it would be nice to have the winner, obviously. But just proof that we can mix it over there, and that they all ran pretty creditably, didn't they?
Definitely, and you can see why the Australians are buying so big at the Newmarket Horses and Training Sale recently, because the race was dominated by those bred in Ireland or Britain. And like I say, despite the fact that they feared a few were too high in the handicap, they've all run really well, and big credit to Red Cadeau, second again in the race, and he's had a long season, second in the Dubai World Cup at the start of the year. He looked a little bit on a downgrade, I think, in the summer, and even Ed Dunlop said himself it's probably going to be his last tour of Melbourne, and he's kind of surprised him by coming second. He's run an absolute great race, especially from a wide draw. Similar comment applies to Mount Athos, drawn 22, it was always going to be hard, and he's probably been a tad unlucky again, but Luca Comani, he's getting extremely close to winning this race, and I'm sure he's going to do it one day, but Mount Athos will be another year older next year, and it definitely won't be easy.
Okay, so that's the Melbourne Cup. We'll now touch on AP McCoy. Obviously, at the time of recording, this is before the start of Tuesday's action. He's got three at Kempton today. Sorry, he hasn't. That was
Exeter.
Yesterday. He's got three at Exeter today.
I think he'll do well to do it today.
Yeah.
One of them looks as though a keen eye. I can't see him getting close, and he's got another one in a competitive handicap chase. I think he can probably go close in the thirst, but he's edging close. I think he'll do well to do it today, but it's going to be done in the next couple of days for sure.
I mean, it's an incredible feat, isn't it? Just 4,000 winners seems a bit. It just seems incomprehensible that someone could actually ride that many winners. Surely,
especially over jumps as well, when you've got all the injury factors. And McCoy, I think he's broken nearly every bone in his body, and he still keeps coming back for more. He's, I think, 18 times champion. He just keeps riding winners every single day, basically. And the thing of Tony McCoy is that he treats every race the same, whether it's a grade one or a seller. He's as determined to win a bad race as he is to win a top race, and that what probably marks him out as different to all the other top jockeys, because jockeys like Frankie Dettori and such, they kind of peak for the big days, whereas for AP, every day is a big day, and he thoroughly deserves to get 4,000 winners, and who knows when he's going to stop, because he's still champion at the moment, and there's no reason for him to stop, and you never know how long he's going to go for.
Absolutely. Okay, then we'll have a look now at the best of Wednesday's action, and we're going to kick things off at Nottingham with the 2:30. It's a handicap over the extended mile. Just the five runners go to post, but it's a really strong field, is James.
Yeah, so it's a 30 grand handicap. It's got strange race conditions, and the fact that you've got to be rated 100 to 112, and all these horses, if they're rated under 100, actually race off that mark. So that's kind of why we've only got the five runners, but it's a very competitive five runner event, and it's not easy to pick the winner. I quite like Breton Rock, who won the kids race that ended Champions Day at Ascot a couple of weeks ago. He's been pretty progressive this season. He looks a very smart colt for David Simcock, and stepping up to mile is the only question mark. He's been racing at 6 or 7 recently, but he was second over a mile at Chester. The way he runs on in his races, I think he's going to stay a mile, especially in a small field. I can't see him going too quick, and I think he's got a great chance as the only 3-year-old in the race to keep progressing. Of the others, Graphics been in cracking form for Willie Haggis this year. He had dropped from a mark of 95 down to 80, but he's found his form again in recent weeks, and he was an impressive winner at York the other day. He's now up to a mark of 102, so it's not going to be easy for him, but he does keep progressing, and he likes soft ground, so you've got to give him a bit of a squeak. Fulbright is a class horse in the race. He was in pretty good form in Maidan in the winter. Not quite so good in two starts back in the UK, but he likes soft ground. He's got old form. He won a Group 2 at Newmarket on similar ground, so in a highly rated handicap, he's got to have a good chance. Beaumont's Party has been in cracking form for Brian Ellison, but races £5 out of the handicap because you've got to run off 100. He's only rated 95, so it's going to be a bit hard for him, but only five runners, but should be a cracking race, and I think Breton Rock can come home in front.
Okay, then, Breton Rock, the selection there in the 230. We'll move to the Polytrack for the last two races that we'll look at. Evening racing coming from Kempton tomorrow. And the 7 o'clock is the first race that we'll look at. It is a listed contest over a mile and a half. We've got seven runners down to go to post. What do you fancy here, James?
Pevers Moon, I think, is our likely winner. I don't think he quite got home in soft ground, stepped up to nearly 2 miles at Doncaster last time. He was progressive all season. He was unlucky at Royal Ascot. He got badly hampered in the handicap. He made amends next time, and like I say, he was strongly backed at Doncaster. I don't think he quite got home in the soft ground at mile six. He's a very nice horse. The Hannon team think he could make up into a cup horse next year. He's already won on near weather. He was very impressive winning his maiden back in the spring. I think he's got an outstanding chance. Obviously, Gatewood's not going to be easy to beat. John Gosden's animal's proven in this kind of grade. He had a spell in Australia. He won a nice race, I think 160 grand handicap at Caulfield, but kind of lost his way a little bit, and he's come back to the UK to John Gosden. He's shaped pretty well in two starts this year. He is a class horse in the race, but he's got to give Pevers Moon £6, and that won't be easy. Urban Dance, the most likely race of the three, just went down when trying to get a 3 out of 3 last time at Newmarket, but it was still a pretty good effort. He's rated 99, he's progressive, and he's probably the best of the others, but nice to see a listed race up at Kempton, 37 grand, and they got a pretty useful field.
Definitely. Okay, then the final race that we'll look at is the 7:30 from Kempton. This is a handicap over 7 furlongs. A pretty interesting contest this, but there's only one place to start, and that's with Roger Varian's really, really informed gelding, Horsted Keynes.
Definitely. Yeah, he was very green and backward as a two-year-old. He was heavily backed to make a winning debut, but he missed the break, didn't get going into stride very quick, and then was very, very keen under Jamie Spencer, and he ended up getting beaten nose first time out. He was then made a 3-1 on favourite on his second start, and just won by a neck. He did it all wrong again, but at the time, Connection said they thought a lot of him. He was gelded, and unfortunately, he's missed most of his three-year-old season, and he only reappeared a couple of weeks ago at Wolverhampton off a mark of 75, and he absolutely hacked up at Wolverhampton, and followed that up with another cosy success at Lingfield 6 days ago. He's got a 6-1 penalty today. I don't think that will stop him. I think he's a very, very classy horse, and I think they're going to keep him for the winter for these valuable handicaps, and in what possibly isn't quite as competitive as some of the races we've seen recently on the all-weather at Kempton, I think he can make it 4 in a row. Main danger is Chucky Royale, who's been in great form for Keith Dalgleish. He won over course since 2 weeks ago, a cracking second there last week. Jason Hart gets on well with him. I think he's got a good chance of filling the frame, but I think he might struggle to give weight to what looks at a progressive type for Roger Varian in Horsted Keynes.
Okay then, so Horsted Keynes the pick there in the 7:30. If you could just sum up your three picks, the one at Nottingham and the two at Kempton on Wednesday for us, please, James.
Yep, three selections, 2:30 at Nottingham. I'm going for Breton Rock in the 30 grand handicap. He's very progressive, won the kids race at Ascot, and I think he's just a nice type. In the 7 o'clock, I think Pevers Moon will make up into a cup horse next year for the Hannon team, and I think he can end his season in style in the listed race. And finally, Horsted Keynes, extremely progressive individual. He can make it 4 out of 4 in the 7:30 at Kempton.
Okay, great stuff, James. Good luck with the selections and enjoy the action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.